Welcome to Life Lessons in Unexpected Places. The world is full of teachers if you know how to look and listen. With Asha Nayaswamy, one of the spiritual directors of Ananda Palo Alto and a founding member of Ananda Worldwide. If you enjoy this content and are inspired by the teachings of Paramahansa Yogananda and his disciple Swami Kriyananda, find Asha on YouTube, Facebook, Patreon, all podcast directories, and her website, ashajoy.org.
How important are we? Our lives, like puffs of wind on a handful of dust, soon become nothing. Don't base your self-definition on what can never last. Base it on your eternal reality in God. Well, this would be, from the point of view of many people, quite depressing, wouldn't it? How important are our lives? Just like a puff of dust in the wind. It's just like, wow, that is kind of depressing, isn't it? At the same time, when one steps back from it and sort of gives up this desire to cling to these realities as deeply important, you really have to see it that way. In the year 1966, in the summer of 1966, I traveled to New York City and I lived for a summer in New York City. Almost all my life since I was a teenager has been in California. All my life since I was a teenager has been in California, except for a few brief forays, including those 3 months in New York City. Since New York City is quite a different culture than California, it was almost like living in a foreign country. But that's not the point here. Later on in my life, much later, I went to New York City on behalf of my work for Ananda, and I gave a number of programs to people there who were interested in meditation and all the things I'm talking about here. I felt an affinity with the city because those 3 months when I lived there were very dynamic and very important to me in my life. And I started wanting to tell people that I've lived in New York City too. And I actually realized it had been prior more than 50 years earlier. And when you think of 50 years in the life of New York City, I mean, it becomes absurd. It's really like history. This was also my dawning awareness that I'd lived quite a long time. So, of course, I didn't even mention it, or I mentioned it only in a humorous light, but not in the sense that I have an affinity with this place, because, good Lord, you know, you can just, well, there's nothing more that has to be said about it. But I'm still in my body. I'm not dead. I'm not looking at it from the astral world. I'm not having a past life memory. I'm thinking about the vividness of that summer that I spent in New York reading the Tolkien trilogy, holding the big book in my hand and actually sitting on the stoop of the apartment house that I lived in and leaning up against the wall. I can see the whole picture of my sitting there reading that book. It was all so vivid to me, but to no one else, to nothing else, and completely gone, just completely gone. I was 19 years old, 20 years old at that point. I was 19 years old, just everything, like a puff of dust. I mean, even less than a puff of dust. So on one hand, depending on how you look at it, there's a tremendous amount of freedom in that, because everything is just, it's just a moving river. It's just water flowing by. And even though every part of it, you know, has this tremendous importance to us, it's really the whole flow of the river. The river is moving toward the sea, and that water just keeps going. It's the one thing that is absolutely unstoppable. You know, this movement of time, this shifting from one event to another, the way everything keeps changing. So this is enough to make a person crazy, and I think different incarnations of my life, all of this has made me kind of crazy. The existential chaos of it can be quite disturbing. And as I was saying, all of this could be quite depressing, except that this is not really what's going on. Now, this requires a certain commitment to quest after a deeper truth and a willingness to look beyond what one already knows. There is a phrase from India, the phrase is Sanatan Dharma. The concept is Sanatan Dharma. Sanatan Dharma is translated to mean the eternal religion, or sometimes that which is. And that's my favorite definition, that which is. It's not religion. Religions come afterwards. Sanatan Dharma is the perceived revelation of eternal truth. And every true religion, every religion that began with a revelation on the part of the consciousness of the origin point of that, they all have the same revelation, and no matter how it gradually devolves, all their revelations are the same. Jesus Christ, Moses, Buddha, Krishna, Chaitanya. In the traditions of India, in the Bhagavad Gita scripture, this is extremely well known. And the Gita scripture says, whenever virtue declines and vice begins to gain ascendancy, this is Krishna speaking, I, the infinite spirit, not I, the incarnation Krishna, but I, the infinite spirit, take visible form to restore virtue and to push the shadow back. Now, in the West, where the Christian tradition has no tradition of Sanatan Dharma, traditional Christianity, Jesus just appeared. There was no one before and there can be no one after. In the Indian tradition, Jesus is well understood. And in fact, it's becoming more common knowledge that Jesus himself, the missing years of Jesus, the missing 18 years, he actually traveled to India to study with the masters there. I mean, these are a lot of different ideas, but all of this is part of the Sanatan Dharma tradition, in which there are certain principles involved, and one of them is the eternal nature of the individual spirit, which is called the jiva, and the necessity for that jiva to reincarnate many times through many physical bodies in many cultures, even on different planets, in order for the jiva to gradually gain the experience and the awareness so that the divine nature of the individual is integrated into every aspect of reality. Because what happens is the jiva incarnates in a physical body, the spirit in that physical body begins to identify with the physical body and all its limitations, and it begins to cling to that form. It clings to the limited form and becomes either unaware or even anxious, not anxious to experience the eternal. So we go through over and over and over again. Sanatan Dharma has us incarnating not just 5 times, not just 10 times, but thousands upon thousands of times. As we continually gain the life experience to begin to see the pattern, to begin to understand that no matter how hard I try to get final fulfillment from the ephemeral things of this earth, in the end they will always disappoint me. And Sanatan Dharma describes in great detail how this is the Vedas and the Upanishads, about how the soul gradually gains this awareness. And if we watch our own lives, even just what we can remember of one physical incarnation, if we're on a trajectory to learn, now many people just are born, they live, they die. It's not that they learn nothing, but it's not a conscious commitment to expand awareness. We learn sort of automatically from life experiences, or we can learn much more intentionally once we have the basic understanding that that's why we're here. That, I mean, why we're here is to perceive past the limited to that which is enduringly real. You know, and people are born very differently. I was born with an intense desire to understand the nature of life, and I was always slightly bewildered by the people around me who didn't seem to be asking those questions. Just, you know, most of my peers, I was fortunate by my late teens, I really I found kindred spirits. And when I came to Ananda, I found my people in a really enormous sense, which is people who were exceedingly serious about the search for truth and exceedingly serious about the effort required to refine our perception and really understand reality in a different way. So what happens as we progress through this is from a certain sense of fear and despair, when we first become aware of the transitory nature of this life. And we work so hard to, you know, put everything in order and have it stay there. And then time just begins to run through. Just begins to run through. Youth is not there anymore. Children grow up and go away. As my father put it, the child disappears into the adult. As my mother put it, I loved it when you were children and I had you all to myself. And it's not that their lives afterwards became unhappy, but what they had so enjoyed just slipped away from them. We get our lives all organized. We have the right house and the right family and the right relationships, and then people change. I remember when I was young and had to face a very deep disappointment in my life, and I was just continually sad. And then it occurred to me that what I was longing for had simply ceased to exist because it was dependent on people's attitudes and their values and their personalities, and not only others, but I too had changed. And the person that I had been that made that idyllic situation possible no longer existed. And I realized that if I continued to weep over the loss of that, there would be absolutely no end to my grief. Because I was longing for something that was gone, was just simply gone. So this is what happens to us over the course of many incarnations. We long for things that are gone. And we go through many stages, including the stages of sadness and disappointment and depression and all the sorts of things that people can go through, until we gradually begin to ask deeper and deeper questions. Something begins to push at us, because deep within ourselves there is divine knowledge. There is the presence of the jiva that is trying to make itself known. There is the presence of the infinite spirit which is trying to make itself known. And when we've exhausted all the possibilities of forcing life by our willpower to conform to what I want, we begin to ask the question, maybe I'm playing by the wrong rules here. Maybe there's another point of reference. I was so desperate, is the only way I can think about it, before I encountered the principles of Sanatana Dharma. I was very dynamic. There was a lot going on in my life. I had the capacity to make things happen. It was not a lack of capacity to participate in this world. But there was no direction. There was no understanding. I would joke about it. I said I felt like the puck in the ice hockey game of life, which was always something happening, but I never knew where the next blow was going to come from. Sometimes they were cheering, sometimes they were booing, sometimes I was off on the sidelines, then I'd get swept into the game again. And when I encountered the principles of Sanatana Dharma, karma, you know, what I am today is the result of yesterday. Tomorrow depends on today. Reincarnation, that this is a long story, and this is just one chapter and I can work with it. The concept of the astral world, of the energy body inhabiting the physical body, but the physical body only being a temporary home. All of a sudden, this whole picture just began to shift. And instead of being terrified by how important are we, just a puff of dust in the wind, I began to think, isn't this a beautiful, extraordinary drama in which we act out all these different parts, commit ourselves to the story, play the part as well as we can, then walk off the stage, and that's that. Just going on to the next chapter of the journey until finally the bubble merges with the infinite sea. So Swamiji asks, how important are we? Our lives, like puffs of wind on a handful of dust, soon become nothing. Don't base your self-definition on what can never last. Base it on your eternal reality in God.
Our work is made possible by inspired listeners, so if you feel to support ASHA, you can make a one-time donation, or for unique members-only content, subscribe through Patreon. Blessings and thank you.